We're turning to our Bible now, and we're going to read together in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And this message is both for communion and for Reformation Day. Reformation Day, that was really yesterday, October 31st, and so we're just hours away. And I want to come today to the great doctrine of justification by faith alone. And we're going to read here in Romans chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Let's stand for prayer for a moment. We'll ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Father, we ask thee to draw near and help us as we come to this wonderful Reformation gospel doctrine of justification by faith. Lord, we thank thee for the faith that you gave to the dying thief. We thank thee that he did not work his way to heaven in any which way. It was a gift and all a gift. O Lord, teach us what it means to be justified totally by faith. We ask that you will bless and encourage our hearts. And as we prepare to take communion, to remember the Lord Jesus in his death for us. O Lord, help us to do so with full hearts, with strong faith, and with rejoicing in our souls as we remember our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please keep your Bibles open at Romans chapter 3. We'll be coming to that a little bit. I want you to imagine if a preacher, a different preacher, came to this pulpit this morning and he read from Hebrews 12, 14, that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And then he went on to say that unless you are totally purified to a certain and a great degree, you cannot be saved. Then he turns to another Bible verse like Philippians chapter 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then he would go to James chapter 2, and he would there say that we are saved by works, and by our works is faith made perfect. The question then would be, well, how many works? And how do we know what we have done sufficient works? Now, when am I done? When have I done enough? And when am I justified completely? If that be true, that we must be justified by our own works, even to some little degree, that it is grace plus something in us, then we're all lost. None of us here are going to heaven, because who has ever kept the law of God perfectly? And who deserves to be brought into heaven after transgressing or breaking the law of God? And as we read there in verse 23, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, in Paul's days, there were teachers who were saying that they needed to be circumcised, that they needed to do various Jewish things. And Paul said, no, if you do any of those things, then grace is made of none effect. Well, today we need to clear the air. We need to lay a solid foundation for our gospel faith. It was indeed this discovery of justification by faith alone that cleared up the matter for men like Martin Luther, who himself had been under the awful sense of slavery to try to perform, purchase, or acquire salvation by his own works. And it was not until the discovery of the gospel message of salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, that he came to the full liberty of enjoying salvation. Now, out of the Protestant Reformation came, therefore, the five solas. These are Latin terms. Sola means singular things. Sola Scriptura, the only authority of the church, the only authority for the gospel is the Bible, and the Bible alone. Then sola gratia, and that is grace alone. And it is God's way of saving sinners, not by part works and part mercy, but by totally grace alone. We receive that grace by sola fide, that is, by faith alone. Faith is the stretched out hand receiving all the mercy and all the grace of God. The person from whom we receive it is sola Christos, that is, Christ alone. He's the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And the purpose of it all, sola Deo gloria, that is, for God's glory alone. And isn't it a marvelous thing that God has ordained your salvation, my salvation, that we get no glory at all? God gets it all. From beginning to end, God receives all the glory. And you will never be in heaven and say, I got here because I made a decision in my own wisdom, in my own strength, and I did something in my own power, and therefore, because I did that thing, I am now in heaven. No, there is no room for boasting. We glory only in the cross. Now, having said all of this, it is a great tragedy that in the vast majority of pulpits across Canada today, there will be no message on justification by faith alone. And the tragedy is that if you were to ask many worshipers as they would leave a church on any Sunday of the year, do you know what it means to be justified by faith alone? You would, in most cases, get a blank look. If you go to a Bible bookstore, if you can find one, sadly, a lot of bookstores have closed now due to the online method of sales. If you can find a bookstore, you will find the most popular shelves, the most numerous books, are devoid of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. All the best sellers do not really get into that subject. And so, generally, in this nation, the vast population of Canada is very, very ignorant of this doctrine of justification by faith. And any people, any church, any family that are not well grounded in this doctrine are in great danger of going back to medieval religion, the Dark Ages. And that may well be upon us. And so it is a wonderful thing today to open our Bibles in Romans 3 and to take a fresh look at this doctrine of justification by faith alone in Christ alone, and to counter this tragedy of ignorance that is all around us. And this doctrine needs to be preached, needs to be defended, needs to be rehearsed over and over because of the important place that the New Testament writers give to it. It could truly be said that in this book of Romans, if you took out every reference to justification, imputation, and the same cognate words that describe this doctrine, that you would hollow out the whole book. You would end up with like a car with a nice shiny body but no engine in it. You would have something that is absolutely emptied out and powerless. Because really the whole theme, the whole thrust of the Apostle Paul in this book of Romans is to teach and emphasize the importance, the value of being justified by faith. If you go back to chapter 1, 16 and 17, which is really a thematic summary of the whole doctrine, you will see how Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Gentile. And then he goes on to describe what that gospel is. And you'll see in verse 17 that he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. This is the basis of the whole doctrine. We are justified by faith. And then again, he defines it even more clearly, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, those are revolutionary words and a revolutionary message. And so anyone coming to the book of Romans and reading that, and then when they pick up on the big subject matter that's going to be dealt with in the book, and you move on chapter by chapter, you're going to see the wonderful doctrine of justification by faith alone expounded step by step by Paul the Apostle, the theologian of the church. Now, I want to, in a few minutes, try and take you step by step through some of the key verses. Now, they deserve really a lifetime of study, but I must do something to lay the foundation here. So I'm going to take you immediately to chapter 3 and to verse 20. Chapter 1 sets up the theme. Chapter 1 also says that all have sinned, Jews and Gentiles, and there is none righteous. Chapter 3 really gives a list of the sinfulness of man. But in this verse 20, it begins the matter of how to be justified. Verse 20, therefore, and you'll see that's the argument. That's the logic that is behind the statement. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The more of the law you know, the bigger the sinner you'll discover yourself to be. The more of the Ten Commandments that you study and their implications and your many ways of breaking them and your impossibility of keeping them, then you'll only feel more and more and more condemned. So by the law, no one can be justified. There has to be another way. When you go down to verse 28, you'll see another therefore, another conclusion of the matter. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And so we're seeing now the argument opened up. We're seeing this theme laid out in very, very clear terms. And even on that one verse alone, someone like that dying thief on the cross could be marvelously saved just to know that we're not saved by the deeds of the law. We are saved by through faith. Now, when you move on to chapter 4, you will see that the argument is taken from Abraham. How did Abraham get saved? It was through faith. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. And so you can see now the argument is continuing, using Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, the founder of the Jewish nation, that even he was not saved by works. He was saved by faith. And then on later down, you will see that, verse 6, that David is used as an example. And how did David, this king in Israel that stands out as the forerunner of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, how was he made right with God? even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Without works. This is wonderful. You can imagine a man like Martin Luther discovering this. He had been flagellating and doing penance and paying money and seeking to perform this and that. He was living in misery, feeling condemned, and then he discovers it's not by works at all. I've been doing it all wrong. And the light comes on, and suddenly he begins to grasp God's way of saving sinners, not by works, not by keeping the law, but by faith in the work of another, the Lord Jesus himself. Now you get to chapter 5, verse 1, you will see another conclusion, another therefore. Now you can see what I'm doing. I'm, in a sense, taking a shortcut to give you a quick road through Romans here by looking at the therefores. The therefores, the conclusion of the matter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, even the dying thief only had that one verse. He could understand it all. Peace with God, therefore, being justified, not by my works, not by my religion, not by my church attendance or performance or membership or any other religious duty. I am justified solely by looking away from myself onto another person who came from heaven, lived the perfect life, died on the cross, paid the price of my redemption, took my place, and my faith is in him alone. Alone. That is the beauty and the power of this wonderful doctrine of justification by faith alone. Now, if we're looking for another big therefore, I'll take you to Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Chapter 6 and 7 in Romans are really parenthetical. They're dealing with a side issue. And chapter 8 continues on the whole doctrine of chapter 5, justification. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine the moment that Martin Luther would have taken that New Testament, read these words in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. That must have been a heavenly moment when liberty through the light of the gospel shone into his heart. He must have been a man rejoicing. It's no wonder that he went out on Halloween, as we now call it, or the eve of St. Martin's Day, and, whatever saint's day it was, he was given the name Martin because he was born on the eve of St. Martin. So let's back up a little bit here to the Reformation. And it was the eve of another saint's day. And on that evening, he nailed his 95 doctrines or statements to the church door. He renounced indulgences, payment for salvation. He renounced a whole series of things. And he rejoiced in the great liberty of salvation by faith alone. It was said that Erasmus led the egg that Luther hatched. That means Erasmus did the work of giving the scriptures, collating all the copies and presenting the Word of God. But it was Luther that hatched the egg because he preached it and declared it to the German people. And that was the spark of the Protestant Reformation in that time. And truly the Reformation was a back to the Bible movement. It was a back to the gospel movement that we are saved by faith alone and not by works. And so it needs to be preached. And if we fail to preach it in Canada in the 21st century, we are not doing our work. We are not sons of the Reformation if we do not declare this doctrine. And I beg you, I beseech you, study the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Start with the shorter catechism, question and answer number 33. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace, whereby he pardoneth us of all our sins, not for our own righteousness, but for the righteousness of Christ alone and by faith alone. I summarized the last part of the day. We'll have to remember that one. You'll have to memorize it. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to do in this Reformation, just to memorize the shorter catechism, number 33. You'll get it on Google. It's everywhere. It's a part of our history. It's a part of world history. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, number 33. Now, this needs to be declared and needs to be defended, because it took the death of the Lord Jesus to give us this wonderful message and doctrine of justification by faith alone. The death of the Lord Jesus is the groundwork of our justification. Justification finds its meaning in the merits. Now, when I say merits, the value of Jesus' blood, Jesus' sufferings, his sacrifice that he offered up upon that cross at Calvary. And because he undertook the payment, the total payment, the complete turning away of God's wrath due to our sin, and because he suffered in totality until he could cry out on the cross, "It is finished," his work of atonement, his work of sacrifice, of giving the gift of justification by faith alone, it is grounded in the death of the Lord Jesus. Now back to Romans 3, 24, 25, and I want you to see this doctrine. Being justified freely, and we're back to the subject, we're right on topic here, verse 24, being justified freely. Wonderful. This is free grace. This is not something that God holds back. He delights in. Justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, redemption means the purchasing work of Jesus in his death. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. Now, that's a very big word with really a simple meaning. It is simply sacrifice. His sacrifice. Now, the purpose of the sacrifice was to turn away God's wrath. A propitiatory sacrifice turns away the wrath of God due to the broken law, due to our transgressions. And though we be sinners, God has provided a propitiatory sacrifice, infinitely sufficient to settle the account for every believer, for all who will ever come. Indeed, some theologians would say that there was a sufficiency in the death of Christ to save all people of all worlds. It was infinite in nature. And so don't think there's no mercy for you. Don't think that it's all exhausted and the reservoir of grace has run dry. This is the death of the second person of the Trinity, who in himself had such virtue, vitality, and value in his blood that he could purchase the souls of all whom the Father had given him in the covenant of grace. And so rejoice that there is a propitiatory sacrifice. Now look at this verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith. Through faith. So we're back to justification by faith alone. There's no other instrument. There's no other means. There's no other agent. There's no other way for you to be justified but by faith. Now, what is the object of that faith? Faith needs an object. Faith is not just mysterious yoga meditation. in empty, mindless things. No, faith in something. What does the verse say? Through faith in His blood. That's life-changing. And I can only imagine the reformers discovering these things. I can only imagine what it was like for me to discover these things. It's life-changing. Once you get your faith into this, once you get your teeth into these truths, you're set free. Free from the accusations that you're not worthy. Who are you to call yourself a Christian? The devil will come and say, you're not good enough to walk with God. You're not good enough to be at peace with God. And he would try to come and rehearse all the vile past to trouble your soul. But here's the gospel, that we are justified through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. This is a loaded text. Man, there's a world of doctrine in here. It's a righteousness which is declared for the remission of sins that are past. Isn't that a wonderful peace coming into your soul just to read those words? The devil and our own hearts will always want to trouble us about our past. And let me tell you, when you get older, it doesn't be any less. When you get older, the sins of your youth are more vivid than ever before. And you have to come back to the cross, back to the blood, back to the propitiatory sacrifice, and take your stand and answer the accusations that the devil may lay against you and settle the matter. But the blood speaks for me, and the matter is dealt with. My sins are remitted through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. Now, that simply means God didn't lower the standard. He didn't change the law. He didn't less his holiness. He maintained his righteousness in all its fullness. But he found a way to make you and me totally righteous, to meet that infinite standard through the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. Now, as we come to the communion table today and take this cup and bread, we are remembering these things. These things are to fill our hearts and flood our souls with joy. And so there is a song of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for what he has done to provide a Savior, to provide a sacrifice for our salvation. And it's a full payment. And justified today, justified forever. And if you live as old as Methuselah, you'll not be any more justified than you are today. That's the complete, perfect, justifying work of the Lord Jesus. Now, I come to our final point here today, and that is justification becomes the reason for our works. Justification becomes the reason for our works. Some people have the idea that if you preach justification by faith, all of grace, all of faith, all of God's doing, that you'll produce a race of lazy Christians. People who say, isn't that wonderful? I don't need to do anything now. I can just sit back and lap it all up. But the wonder is that this is the greatest motivation for service. Why do I want to serve the Lord Jesus? Because he's did it all for me. He did so much for me. And this is the argument of James. James, the book of James, it is post-justification. It is after we have trusted in the blood and our sins have been remitted. We now do work. Faith that doesn't work is not true faith. It is faith that works, that brings a new life, new holiness, new living, new sacrificing. Let's just turn to the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 21. James chapter 2 and verse 21. Comes in after the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, 21. Was not Abram our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? No wonder Martin Luther said, I don't know about this book of James. Paul said in Romans that Abraham was justified by faith alone. And now James is saying that Abraham was justified by works. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. You see, if the preacher comes to the pulpit and starts off in the book of James, but didn't firstly preach the book of Romans, he's in trouble and you're in trouble. It's only after you're justified by faith alone that your faith is made perfect, or it is made obvious by a new life, by new works. Someone said, you will never act like God until you like God. And it's the doctrine of justification by faith alone that takes all the fear out of our hearts. We're no longer under condemnation. I'm no longer running from God. But the only way now that I will act like God is because I truly like him or love him, because he first loved me. And peace with God comes through justification by faith alone. And when you are brought into this blessed peace, you have joy, delight, and a thrill in your soul that you're saved. Now this becomes the joy of living for Jesus, living in the blessedness of the gospel. And you want others to have this blessedness too. So this becomes now your witnessing. It becomes the reason you talk, you gossip, you declare, you witness the message of the gospel, because you rejoice in your own salvation. As you take the cup and bread today in communion, you're also witnessing that you have now your faith and your confidence in the finished work of the Savior, that his blood, his righteousness is your peace. And in the company of fellow Christians, you are taking that cup and bread to show or declare your faith, your peace, your satisfaction in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. I pray today that as we do participate in this cup, that that will flood our souls and we will delight ourselves in the Lord Jesus. Let's unite in prayer and we'll ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for this great gospel. We thank thee for the peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for each brother and sister here today who is at peace, that can say that Jesus paid it all for me. He is worthy, though I am unworthy. And, O Lord, I pray that you will come, minister, and speak to our souls afresh. Give us a fresh baptism of your wonderful peace within our hearts. May every accusation be silenced. May every believer rest and rejoice in the Savior. We pray for the lost who need the Savior today, family members, loved ones, friends in this community. Lord, let our witness be loud and clear that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now help us in the communion this hour, we ask, in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen.